Harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Oh, what a show we have for you today on this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim Donovan is sitting in for Nathan Zagora today. Again, Nathan will be out the entire week. He is vacationing with the family, trying to enjoy some time with them. But we will hear from him, not today, but I think tomorrow and Thursday as well. He checked in with us yesterday. I think it's raining down there in Florida, so maybe...
Yeah, I saw where a lot of the exhibition baseball games were canceled down there.
So I'm feeling for him because, you know, he's got the kids down there. They're trying to enjoy themselves. It is tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
But anyway, we have got a stacked show for you. We're going to hear from Nate Ulrich at 1:30 from the Akron Beacon Journal. He is at the owners' meetings down in Orlando, Florida, so we'll get some update today. Mike Pettine spoke today to the media. It was part of the AFC Coaches Breakfast. Jim, we'll go through some of the highlights of that as well in a minute, but we want to make sure people know that Nate will be with us to give us his firsthand account of what's going on down there. At 2 o'clock, this has been a feature that Jason Gibbs, our tremendous producer, got going for us a little while ago, and we love it. It's called The Blitz, and it's an opportunity to have multiple thoughts from reporters who cover the National Football League around the country, weighing in with the hot button areas in the league. So three guys that we have lined up for today from the New York Jets, Randy Lang from NewYorkJets.com. What's going on with them? A lot. Quarterback situation.
Always.
You know, they always. Michael Vick in, Mark Sanchez out. Where is Sanchez going to land? We'll cover that in the course of this, because from Philadelphia, we'll hear from Brian Baldinger of NFL Network, who particularly knows that Eagles team. He played for it as an offensive lineman. We're also going to check in with the Raiders. They pick up Matt Schaub. So Vic Tafor from the San Francisco Chronicle, who covers the Oakland Raiders, will be on with us as well. And this will be kind of a rapid-fire deal where we get all three of those guys with us. And then finally, you're going to hear from Jim Corbett from USA Today, covers the NFL. We'll hear from him at about 2:15. And then we're going to do the segment that's sweeping the nation, Jim, as you know. And normally Nathan is part of this, but we're so happy to give you your opportunity to be part of this, as I say, sweeping the nation feature called After Further Review.
I hope I'm ready for it, Vic. I really do.
It's a big deal, Jim.
Yeah. Incidentally, in that Raiders situation, and the odd guy out is Terrell Pryor.
Yes.
Terrell Pryor, there's always an odd guy out. Sanchez, the odd guy out, obviously, with the Jets. You know, Brandon Whedon, Jason Campbell, two odd guys out.
you paused there.
I don't know if they were odd, but they are in the category of odd guys out.
Yeah.
You know, you take a look at that, there are guys, when there's a move made, there's a move on the other side of that, and somebody's out.
There's a corresponding move.
Yeah, there's a corresponding move. So Terrell Pryor, who, of course, you know, I don't know what everybody's opinion is of him, you know, here in Ohio because of what happened at Ohio State, but certainly somebody that we've been interested in watching. And I remember seeing him on the field a couple of years ago when we were out there and the Browns played the Raiders. He was dressing. That was, I think, the first game he had dressed for off the practice squad.
That's right.
He was another fascinating player.
He's in, and maybe it'll be fascinating to see where it ends up for him. Maybe you could say that, is this a guy in a system where you have such versatility with Kyle Shanahan here?
And it would
here,
take a system.
It would take a system to kind of get the most out of him. Is this the right place for that? Would the Browns consider that? I don't know. But I would think, and this ties into what we heard from Mike Pettine today, or I say what he told reporters. We'll see if we can get the actual sound of that. Mm-hmm. But I've got a bunch of notes from Mike Pettine's meeting with reporters again at what was called the AFC Coaches Breakfast held in Orlando, and got kind of a blow-by-blow of that. And he just said everything's on the table when it comes to the quarterback position, zeroing in on any single thing.
He said some fabulous stuff down there, because he really, you know, Mike really handles the media very well. Now, I don't know if, you know, he watched Rex Ryan, and of course the Jets were under the microscope at that time. And maybe he learned a great deal from that. And I don't know if Rex allowed his coordinators to meet with the media more so than they do with other teams. But Mike today was fantastic because he said, hey, I wouldn't turn down the opportunity to turn in Jadeveon Clowney's name at number four. Hey, I'll tell you, Derek Carr, there's a lot of football IQ there. Khalil Mack.
Yeah, called him, I think, the best pure thrower, by the way, of Derek
Carr.
He
right,
had, he had high marks for Carr.
Johnny Manziel, everybody.
Yeah, but he gave you substance. He gave you a specific thought, so we will get into that with him.
But, you know, the other thing, Vic, is, though, if you notice everybody at these meetings, especially in the high order of the draft, up at the top of the draft in the first round and in every round, but, you know, Bill O'Brien not tipping his hand about taking a quarterback, and certainly what quarterback would he take? I mean, you know, I don't know. Listen to a trade? Sure, yeah, we'd listen to a trade. Sure. Trade down a little bit, you know, get out of there, out of the number one spot.
Right.
We have many needs. And so when people are saying, hey, Ray Farmer's playing it really close, so is everybody else in the NFL.
No, it's true, and I think at the appropriate times, I think people within those respective organizations will let stuff get out there for the sake of forcing something else.
Yeah.
And it's called the lying season for a reason. and it's acceptable lying. In the NFL, I was Marv Levy told me this, one of the most straightforward, honest men I knew. He was like a father figure when I was around him. But he said, you know, Vic, it's okay to lie at this. He said, in the NFL, there's certain lies you can tell that are okay, or something like that.
So and they would fall into the category of a young Irish Catholic boy from Boston, a white lie, right?
That's right, you call it the white lie.
Hey, I just want to say, and I don't want to get... I do want to get melancholy about this, but when you mention Marv Levy, my thoughts, and I think because Browns fans are so great and passionate about football, even to the competition that comes in here and plays against the Browns, and we recognize greatness when we see it, and we saw it in Jim Kelly, who's a Hall of Famer, and Jim is very ill right now and needs your thoughts and needs your prayers. Yep. He had a recurrence of a very aggressive cancer orally in his jaw area that has moved and expanded, and that's not great news. He has, you know, the best medical attention in the world, I understand, but he is facing a very, consequential surgery coming up later on this week in New York.
Right.
And I, Vic, I have to tell you, one of the great competitors, when he played in that playoff game, and I know Browns fans are out there in their car or listening to the show and remember that incredible playoff game here at the old stadium, that back and forth game that a muddy fingered Ronnie Harmon had a ball slip through his fingers. One of the great comebacks in playoff history was stunted just, short of coming all the way through. And that was the Bills losing out to the Browns that day and Clay Matthews getting a big interception. But Kelly was phenomenal. But correct me if I'm wrong, Vic, that was the birth of the Super Bowl run for the Buffalo Bills. That playoff game here in Cleveland with Jim Kelly and that K-gun offense.
It was the birth of the K-gun that he had gotten the green light to use, that Ted Marchibroda, the offensive coordinator at the time, suggested to Marv, just let him go and let him run the 2 minute. I just want to tell you, I'm so glad you articulated what you did, because it's a lot easier. Well, it would have been a lot harder for me.
Sure,
nothing's easy.
Because
but
Vic, you're very close to him.
I appreciate that you said that, and it is tough. Jim, as tough a man as I know, and this is the fight of his life. And I've been in touch with his family the last couple of weeks, especially his brother Dan, who's kind of been the closest
guiding
connection
light, guiding, for the family and spokesperson for him.
And the details aren't necessary. You covered it. It's in a very bad place, in a very bad way right now. And he's got the fact that he's a fighter on his side. He's got a lot of people who love him and are behind him on his side. And through the folks, first of all, there's a place called Roswell Park Institute. It's a cancer institute in Buffalo where he initially had his jaw, a good portion of his jaw, surgically removed, and the hope had been that solved the cancer that was discovered less than a year ago. Obviously, it has come back, and it's taken in a very aggressive form. And Jim, as I said, I believe in him and his ability to battle with this. We'll see where everything goes, but thank you for acknowledging that. And I've asked people on the show before. I'll just one more time. We all got a lot of people we pray for and care for. Just the fact that he's who he is does not make it any more important than anyone else. I want to keep perspective here, but he's special.
Yeah,
and,
he really
and,
is.
And he's been special to me for many, many years. So anyway, thank you for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're such great fans and amazing football knowledge, and you recognize greatness when it comes. So if you have a moment today, think of Jim Kelly. Think of his family. Think of him. And think of him in those tremendous, tremendous days up in Buffalo at Ralph Wilson Stadium, and those magnificent teams with Marv Levy, Ted Marchibrota with that big play sheet in front of him, and Jim Kelly. And really recognize this. That the greatness, he really found that light of greatness right here in Cleveland on a Saturday afternoon. That was one of the most magnificent playoff football games I had ever seen.
It really was. And
it was sad to see. It was great to see the Browns win.
Course.
Don't get me wrong.
No, of course.
It was sad to see either team lose that game because they went at it tooth and nail.
They did. It was a fantastic display, incredible display of offense. I've talked with Bernie Kosar about it many times. And Jim and Bernie, you know, very close, obviously, the University of Miami connection.
When Bernie started that tremendous foundation and the golf tournament connected with it, first guy in was last guy out was Jim Kelly.
Yeah. And that's how I got to know Bernie through the years, because as a player, he would visit all these tournaments that Jim held, and they'd have court. I mean, you show up at these events, Bernie Kosar, John Elway. Dan Marino, Jim Kelly. Who's a boomer aside. It was a who's who of quarterbacking in the mid-'80s, which was really, I think, the high point of NFL quarterbacking.
Oh, absolutely.
When you think about all the talent in the league then. Also want to tell people, 216-578-0850, because we want to know if you, as fans, are concerned that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine aren't going to Johnny Manziel's personal pro day, which is Thursday at Texas A&M. Does it matter to you? Jimmy Haslam has weighed in on the topic of what this team should or shouldn't do with the quarterback position, at least just offered some thoughts. And the bottom line here, Jim, is you don't get any sense that this team feels an ounce of pressure, if that's the right word, to draft a quarterback at 4.
Yeah, I have been picking that up. There's no question about it. You're right. They'll get one when they feel it's time to get one. For people that say, oh, they don't know what they're doing, or, you know, what are they doing? Or do they know what they're doing? I think I got the impression in listening to what they're saying and kind of trying to find the words and the reasoning behind what they're saying to figure out what they're really sending out there is that they'll pick their quarterback in due time when it's responsibly right to pick the guy.
Which you want to hear. You definitely want to hear that.
You just don't want to overdraft.
Right.
Right? I mean, we did that. I think, a couple of years ago it happened here.
And it hurts you. You pay a price for missing. I mean, you only overdraft if the guy isn't what you think he is.
True.
And I'll respect, whatever decision they make, if it's a collaborative decision, that it's not just one person saying we got to do this, and that's happened before, unfortunately, with this organization. I think to have a collective thought process, and I have faith that Ray Farmer, Mike Pettine, Jimmy Haslam, they'll be on the same page with this.
Here's the big question, I think, that as all of these teams, not only the Browns, come out and talk from these owners' meetings, and that is, I wonder, and maybe the callers when they call in can voice their opinion on this.
Yeah.
Is there somebody in this quarterback class that is a franchise maker? In other words, is he going to make a franchise the way that Andrew Luck did, the way it appears that Russell Wilson is doing? Is Russell Wilson a franchise maker?
Yeah,
or is it just a great system around him and then him figuring in? But Andrew Luck was such a special one-of-a-kind guy that we haven't seen maybe since that group you just rattled off.
Yeah.
Maybe since that group,
We don't know. A lot has been said that 2012 was that kind of class with Andrew Luck, with Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
But there's still so many unknowns. Way too early to say and to say that you can favorably compare them. And it might even be blasphemous to say that that's the same type of group that you had in the class of '83 with, again, Elway, Marino, Kelly, those Hall of Famers and Pro Bowlers. Regarding pro days. Uh-huh. And this has been the big subject, and Ray Farmer weighed in on it and saying the team, he wasn't planning to be at Manziel's pro day. Mike Pettine not planning to be there, but he was talking about pro days being so scripted, too easy. He says you can watch them on NFL Network. They're like batting practice and less like live pitching. Now, this is from the head coach of the team. So, really,
well,
this became almost a referendum, this topic of the waste of time of a pro day. Makes you wonder if you're the athlete who at quarterback or other positions, geez, why am I doing this? Because you trained for this. Your agent invested in this. My understanding is agents will, for the training, like for combine training, and, mm-hmm. and it applies to pro day, an average of $20,000 to $25,000 per guy. If it's the Jim Donovan, say, agency representing a player, you're investing that in that guy for putting him up through the training, the facility, the housing, the food,
yeah.
you know, all that goes into right. having this guy get ready for this pre-draft process.
Yeah.
So is it a waste of money?
Yeah.
According to, I mean, when you hear stuff like that.
Well, it is. That's a very, you know, apropos way to go to another sport and make a connection there. It is batting practice. It is batting practice. I mean, you know, they've got every tape and they've watched a lot of games. And Ray Farmer said that yesterday. Hey, I've watched a ton of college games, yeah. went to a lot of games to feel the atmosphere, to see the guy, you know, when it's real action. Here's the other thing to remember. Go back to when Tim Couch came here in 1999 and the Browns went to a pro day and it was
right.
a huge thing.
Yep.
And they were not satisfied with it, but it was a Tim Couch and whoever his quarterback coach was at the time. It was they orchestrated the workout down in Lexington,
in Kentucky.
Yeah. And then about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, you know, Chris Palmer, Al Lerner,
yeah.
they got
Dwight
on the
Clark,
plane again.
Yeah.
Dwight Clark, they all went. Carmen Policy, they all went down mm-hmm. and said, "Listen, you know, we're really thinking of making you the number one pick. We have a workout we want you to do." And it was Chris Palmer because Chris had been a quarterback coach
yeah.
everywhere.
Yes.
And they did a workout with him.
Right.
So I think that's what the Browns are saying.
And I remember Chris telling me
yeah.
after that, I'd been here for a piece that I had done for a publication called NFL Insider Magazine. Chris Palmer telling me, you know, that they had the faith. They felt good about what they saw. There was a collective feeling
yeah,
within the team. The second time.
The second time.
And
yeah.
Carmen said the same thing as well. All right, 216-578-0850. We are getting some calls, and we'll get to that and others that come in. Also, tweet us at Browns_daily. Just getting this thing started on a football Tuesday. He is Jim Donovan, filling in for Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.